Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
Today is a very special day. It's Student Ministry Sunday, and we're just honoring our young people, and I thought, not a better way to do that then to introduce you to some very special people. I want to introduce you to Uncle Russ and Makisha Shelvin. Would you give them a hand? This is my daughter, Hannah Reisner, and my son, William Reisner. And today, they are our student leadership team, and they do an incredible work, some things you don't even see, but you're going to hear a little bit about that today. And I thought, this would be cool. Instead of me preaching on Student Ministry Sunday, why don't I give them an opportunity to speak? And so what I decided to do was I'm going to give each one of them 7 minutes. So on the board, you're going to see a timer on the back. It's going to say 7 minutes. And when it goes off, you're going to hear a ding. They got to get finished in 7 minutes. So this is going to be like a preach-off this morning. Now, all of them have communicated publicly in different capacities, but this is the first time they've been in a crowd this size. So here's what I want you to do. These are some of our up-and-coming, next-generation young communicators. I want you to encourage them as if you were up here and you would want people to encourage you. How would you want people to encourage you? When you made a good point, you'd want them to say, amen. That's good. Preach it, bring it. And if you'll do that, they'll preach, they'll be the best preacher. You won't even want me back. That is the goal. Y'all do know that, right? And so I want you to encourage them as they come up and speak, and you're gonna be blessed today. They did a fantastic job in the early service, and I thought, our future is secure. And so I wanted you to hear their heart. I asked them this question: this next generation that's coming, what do you see? And I want you to fill in the blank. You got 7 minutes to fill in the blank, and then they're going to just you're going to be blessed by what they're going to share with you today. So would you please give it up for our very first Uncle Russ? We call him Uncle Russ, Russell Shelvin.
Amen. What's good, family? All right. We were asked the question, what do we see in this generation? And as I begin to think about that, I just thought about life. Life is a soundtrack, right? You can play a certain song, or you can name a certain person, and you remember something good that happened during that time, or you remember what you were doing at that time when you hear this song. So what I began to think about was whenever we first started coming to Our Savior's Church 8 years ago, the student ministry had just started. We had joined a small group, and we decided that that's what we would do. We would join the student ministry. So I got to hook up with Brian Barker at the time, who was the pastor, who is now my best friend in the whole wide world. And student ministries was looking just like our church. It was new. It was fresh. We had pockets of kids that were just hanging with the kids that they go to school with. It was unusual to have Black and white worshiping together. They understood the presence of God. They understood that they were worshiping God, but it was still new, right? And as Pastor Brian got ready to leave and go to Texas at one of our other churches in Texas, we had Pastor Chris and Miss Wendy that took over. And at that point, we started to see a shift, right? Our students started to realize, just like we realized, that we're one people. We're one people under God, that we're celebrating the same God. So we started to see that in our worship. We started to see the kids even getting together in different groups and encouraging other people. They were excited about student nights. They were excited about camps. So we saw that. We saw that movement. And then Pastor Chris and Miss Wendy went to another one of our churches in Texas as well. So Pastor Hugh and Miss Heidi invited us to dinner and was like, "Well, we need to find somebody to take Pastor Chris and Miss Wendy's place." And I was like, "Man, I know the perfect person." He was like, "Yes, you." I was like, we took that on gladly. We came in and we saw another shift, right? We saw the students that were embracing God, that understood they were the same under God, that they were one people. Coming out of camps, they were on fire. We started seeing students like Latrell and the other guys and Haley. They started making group texts, right? And they weren't talking about just nonsense. They were talking about God. They were praying for each other, right? Come on. They were sharing scripture. They were doing devotions, right? They started coming to us with the hard questions. You know, how do I date this girl? Why can't I have sex before marriage, right? And I'm like, oh, God. What the? But that's good, right? That's what we want, right? We want them to ask those questions. We want them to understand the things that are going to happen as they're growing up, the things that they're going through, some of the things that we weren't taught as students coming up, right? So as we continue down, I was praying and I was asking God, so what's the word? What's the word you want for these students? And I got warriors. I got young men and young ladies that are warriors, right? So he led me to David, to Psalms. 1 Samuel. I'm trying to take my wife verse. 1 Samuel 17:40. All right. And in that verse, David is getting ready to battle Goliath, right? He goes to the, and Goliath is talking noise, and he steps out and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted to say it. I'd say it when I get on stage. But he was getting ready to battle Goliath, right? So he goes to the river, and it says, then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth with a V, smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine, right? So us, this is what I felt God was telling me, us, big church, we're David, right? We're David. The world told us black and white can't worship together. Republicans and Democrats can't worship together. Black and white can't build nothing. But we about to build something on Harry Gilbo, right? That's going to be a beacon, right? That's going to be a beacon for people to see that black and white can build, right? And then we got this younger generation that's going to come up in that beacon and in that building, and they're going to take it a little bit further, right? So we stepped up. Woo, 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 woo. Bop! Stone to the head. Come on, right? So check this out. We're looking at the five stones, right? But the five stones represent grace, right? David grabbed five stones because he knew that there were going to be other giants. He knew that wasn't going to be the other giant, the only giant. Even though he didn't use those other four stones, it was a symbol. It was a symbol for our students that are grabbing it, right? They see what's going on in the world. They see the separation in the country. They see Republican and Democrat. They see the racism, right? They see unarmed people getting killed, right? They see the separation, but they're embracing that differently, right? They're not looking at it like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be, because God says we are one people. They have a biblical mind view, a worldview, not a worldly worldview, right? So they're looking at it through a different eye set. So what we're doing is we're setting up these young people when they go to college. It's so encouraging because they call and they say, Uncle Russ, I found a church. I found people that are thinking like me, right? I found some people that are praying. I found some people that are doing small groups. And that's so encouraging, right? Because they're getting it, right? They're getting it. They don't see what the world is trying to tell them to see, right? They don't see that they don't have to just be in one group. They have to be in all groups. They have to be in the middle. In the middle. Sorry, William, I stole your middle thing. It just came to me. But they see that when they go to the college, when they go to trade school or whatever, when they get out of these four walls, they have that foundation. They have that foundation that we're setting, that example that we're setting and showing them that they can go and do what God has for them, and they don't have to indulge in the things of the world. And that's what we want. We want them to glorify God. We want them to trust God and know that God has a purpose and a plan for their life. Kyrie Irving, 3, 2, 1, and...
How do you follow that up? Like, oh God, what do I do? Am I on the screen? All right, I was always wanting to do that. I'm sorry. All right. I've always seen, I've always wondered. I'm sorry, Josh. But no, it's a very dangerous thing for me to have a mic right now. And I know, and you probably, fear not. Okay, fear not. Bible tells you don't fear. I'm telling you right now. There's a lot of stories going around about me, okay? You've heard about whenever I've gotten in trouble in school. And you know more stories about me than I know about me, honestly. Because it just, people, I've been more ministry examples than ever before. But today's the day that we break that, all right? Thank you. Finally. I'm just kidding. I'm going to wait till I have longer because there's a lot. So, no. Before I even start anything, honestly, like, God has given me with a unique perspective of to see the inside workings of the church, not only from a staff perspective, but from a family perspective as well. And I waited till both my parents are in the room to hear this, but I have never seen someone handle, such spiritual attack with such grace and love and humility than these two. We are blessed. We are blessed. They're incredible human beings, and I'm telling you, you think they're great leaders on stage? It's so rare to find leaders who are better off the stage than they are on. They are incredible. Incredible. And I just spent a minute and a half on that, and I don't care. So, it was worth it. So, but no, so just thinking, okay, like, Vic, you sound really good, by the way. My Lord. So it's whenever I see this next generation, I see blank. And whenever I see this next generation, I see purpose. I see purpose. And there's a lot of questions. The biggest question I've ever seen from a student and from multiple students is, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do with my life? Well, the thing is that purpose is why you do what you do, but calling is what you do exactly. So there's more of a call of why am I here rather than what do I need to do, what college do I need to go to, what school do I need to attend, et cetera, et cetera. This generation wants purpose. They just want to know why. Why am I here? You ever had the little kids where they're asking you, like, hey, you need to go sit down. Why? Why? Why I need to do this? Why I need to do that? It's because that generation's grown up now. And they're asking, instead of why do I need to do that, it's why am I here? What's my purpose? Why am I existing? So our generation has purpose. And I want to kind of go over the purpose of this ministry as a whole. In Matthew 28, it says, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Great Commission is our commission. It's not just the student ministry's commission, it's your commission as well. Jesus sent his disciples before he went into heaven, and he said, I need you to take care of the people now. I've done what I can do, now it's your turn. And so we see everywhere, we see on church news, we see reaching people, building lives. That's a big purpose for this ministry, for us. It's because we're called to reach people. And the biggest thing the enemy is trying to do right now is he's trying to put roadblocks in our way and trying to stop us from, hey, you can't reach everybody. You might as well reach the people that you know. Or you might as well reach the people that look like you. You might as well reach the people that have the same political view as you or the same orientation as you. But I'm telling you that Jesus didn't die just for your specific group. He died for everybody. And as a ministry as a whole, cursed be the day whenever we focus on what only we could do. It's not about us. It's never been about us. And, girl, don't tempt me. I heard that one. It's never been about us because of the blood of Jesus said he's coming all for the Son of Man died for everyone, not just for the specific church or whatever that is. And students today, honestly, and I struggle with this too, so I'm going to be honest, is that I felt like I had to get my act together before I came to church. I knew my parents were pastors, so I said, okay, well, if I'm going up on the front row, I might as well look like I have it together so whenever I go to church, people think I'm holy. But that's wrong. Jesus said, no, you come to church so that you can become righteous. You come to church, you come to me so that I can make you whole again. You come to me so that you know that whatever you were once dealing with, whenever you walk through the doors, you're no longer walking in it again because the blood of Jesus covers all. And I'm sick and tired of the enemy talking to our young people, telling them that they had to get their act together. We don't live in an Old Testament community anymore. The power of grace and the power of the cross lives now, and he's with our students. So that's reaching people. But another thing is, y'all better chill out. I got 2 minutes. Y'all, I got to use this time. But it's also reaching people and it's building lives at the same time. So Jesus wasn't just like, hey, you're saved. Okay, great. On to the next one. No, Jesus brought his disciples along with him and said, hey, I know that you believe in me and that's great and I love that. Well, why don't we do life together as well? Wherever you come, wherever I go, you come with me. And I want this student ministry, the same thing that we're doing, the same thing that we're focusing on is, hey, oh, you just got saved? Great. Here's next steps. It's not just a come all, come once, get saved and go out. It's a, hey, come in, stay a while, get to know people, get a part of a life-giving community that loves you, that cares for you. Your home life may be terrible, but the church isn't going to treat you bad. The church isn't going to judge you. The church isn't going to say, hey, you're not supposed to be here. No, because of the color of your skin or the orientation or even the religious background that you've come from, hello, it doesn't matter because Jesus died for you. It doesn't matter. So that's what we're focused on as a church is we're here to reach people, we're here to build lives because the goal is once a student graduates from high school, they don't only know how to, oh, I know how to raise my hands during worship. I know how to take notes during a message. No, students walk out of the church knowing I know more now than I ever did before. I know how to live life, not just live a life based on church. If a student knows how to do church well, then we failed. If a student knows how to do life well, then we succeeded. That's what it's about. I got 25 seconds, so I'm not waiting for anybody. So it says in the end of Acts chapter 2, it says that they broke bread daily in their homes and they shared their possessions and they did life together and the community of the church grew. And that is what's happening in the student ministry because whenever it becomes about us, we fail. But whenever it comes about Jesus and a life-giving community to succeed together, we succeed as a whole. Thank you.
My name is Hannah, and I am so grateful and thankful to serve on staff at Our Savior's Church Opelousas campus, the greatest campus in the world, that's for sure. So when I got posed the question, when I see this generation, what do I see? And for me, when I see this generation, I see a generation that's passionate for God. And not just passionate, but passionate about knowing Him and making Him known in this community. Because you see, we can talk about God all we want. We can just say all the things we think sound good, but if we don't know Him, then what's the point? It's an empty relationship, and God is not about doing empty relationships. And so you can even look and go, Hannah, good job. That sounds awesome. That's so great. But everywhere I turn in my personal experiences and even in the media and whatnot, all I see is negative about this generation. But I have some encouragement for you today, and I believe this with everything in my heart, that when we see on the media, even in our nation and in our world, when hell unleashes its best, heaven unleashes its best as well. And that what the enemy tries to do for evil, God will always mean it for good. God can redeem and restore anything. And you would say, well, okay, awesome, that's great. But I'll tell you this, the reason I say that is because God knows our students. God has a purpose and a plan. The Bible says He's the author and perfecter of our life story. He sees the beginning and the end. God doesn't miss a thing. God hasn't missed our students. And guess what? We might even say and think, does God even know our name? But I want to encourage you today. God knows each one of us in this room and the generation that's coming up after us intimately and has a purpose and has a story for influence for each one of us. And you can even think, and honestly, we're not going to be here one day. Okay, that's getting all morbid. But one day we're going to graduate to heaven. Amen? And the generation that comes up under us are the students that are going to carry what God has called all of us to do here in this community farther, wider, and deeper than we could have ever imagined. But how are they going to do that? They're only going to be able to do that if we steward them well, if we pour into them, if we take the time for them, if we encourage them and love them right where they're at, and we let God do the rest. We do all that we can do so God can do what only He can do, which is soften and transform lives. Amen? And so that's the legacy we leave. We might not be able to give $10 bazillion to build 75 other million churches, but maybe I can raise up a student to come up under me and to say, because of Hannah or Uncle Russ or Kiki or anybody, I'm here where I stand today because that's my story too, because somebody took the time for me. And the least we could do is take the time for them. And I'll just tell you this too. The enemy can try and do whatever he wants. He can try and use drugs to take out our students. He can use violence. He's going to try to use violence. He's going to use anxiety. He's going to use depression. He's going to use immorality. He's going to use mental illness to try and take out this generation. Emphasis on the word try. Okay, but I'll tell you this. One thing I do know is that God can do anything. And no student is too far off. No student is too in the pit. No student is too bound that God cannot set free. And that's why we're passionate about knowing God and making him known in this community. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:19 in the Message version, God looked and saw evil looming on the horizon, so much evil, and saw no sign of justice. He couldn't believe what he saw. Not a soul around to correct the awful situation. Emphasis on this part. So he did it himself. He took on the work of salvation and fueled by his own righteousness. We might look and feel super hopeless and be confused and not understand, God, why this, the world is a dark and terrible place and our kids are growing up in this and it's so confusing and there's so many questions and all that. But we see here in Isaiah where it says, God saw it all. And then his response was this, he did something about it. And what I want to encourage y'all today is that God sees everything in our community that's happening, and not one thing is a surprise to him. And it was so encouraging for me to read this verse, and I really prophetically just spoke this over us and said, guess what? God, I believe that you're going to do something about this too, that you haven't forgotten, you haven't overlooked or left us behind. God works in a specific and perfect time that might not match up to ours. But I believe that one day that our students are going to rise up and they might be the next lead pastor of this church. They might be the president of the United States. Who knows? But what I do know is that God can do anything, and he's doing something about it. He's doing it in our small groups. He's doing it in our summer camps. I have a student in my small group who wrestled with the idea that God loved her and that God had chosen her. But guess what? Sometimes you've got to wrestle with something for God to actually touch it. And so she went to our pursuit retreat, and God transformed her life like never before. And she accepted Jesus for the first time. And we don't take that lightly. We're not numb to that. We don't just go, oh, awesome, and move on about our day. Heaven celebrates when heaven and earth collide and a student meets God for the first time. Okay? So when I see this generation, this is what I see. I see a generation that is on fire for God, truly, passionately, and deeply on fire for him. I see a generation that's committed to knowing him and making him known amongst their schools, being an influence to change their culture. I believe in a generation who is committed to walking in obedience to Christ, who is passionate about learning the word of God, who is passionate and believes in the power of prayer. Bible says with faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. It doesn't take much for God to do anything. He's just waiting for us to show up and say, God, I believe. And he's going to, okay, boom, there it is. I believe in a generation that will stand up for what's right when everybody else says it's wrong. When it's hard, when all your friends are sitting over here saying, well, I believe this, and you're going, but this is what I believe the word of God says. That's hard. That's not easy. But I believe in a generation that's going to be courageous enough to do it. A generation that is so captivated by the love of God that it leaks out in every other area of their life. I believe in a generation whose identity is found in Jesus alone. They're not going to look to the left or to the right or who says this or who does that. They're going to look up and know who God calls them. And lastly, this is what I believe, because I got 7 seconds. I believe in a generation that will be free. Free from sexual immorality, free from depression, free from anxiety, free from drugs, free from abuse. And I'm going to keep going because that timer's out, but I'm not finished. Free from violence, free from fear, free from stress, free from pressure. I believe in a generation that's going to know what it feels like to be free in the name of God. We are going to make him known in this community. Amen. I'm done.
She's just like her mother. I don't care about that clock. I'm going. Makisha Shelvin.
Okay, this is terrifying, just in case you wanted to know. So for the next generation, I see an opportunity for connection. Connection is very important because for me, as a young adult, it's what I most craved. I crave connection with people just to love me for who I am, where I'm at. That's the way it is. I spent a lot of time trying to fit in and be like the majority because that's the cool thing to do. And small story about me, it didn't work out. I fought and fought and fought for the relationships that broke and tore me down to the ground. And it wasn't until recently, coming to OSC, I'll be 35 this year, that I actually had a real connection with somebody. Those connections that I've made here have forced me to search for that deeper connection that I really wanted, which was God. I knew he was there. I just didn't believe he was there for me. So in this season, I have watched the youth, and I'm really proud to be a part of such a movement because the next generation has experienced so much so fast. We as parents, myself, I can't keep up. I really can't. And as I was praying about what God wanted me to say, he woke me up on Saturday, 5:55 a.m. on a Saturday, and all I heard was Psalms. I've been reading a psalm a week for a few weeks now, and I just searched through and I saw it. Psalm 73, 17 and 18, and it says, "From my childhood, you have been my teacher. I wasn't a good student." That's my part. "And I'm still telling everyone of your miracle wonders. God, now that I am old and gray," I have about five, so that qualifies, "don't walk away. Give me grace to demonstrate to the next generation all your mighty miracles and your excitement to show them your magnificent power." So I'm here to tell you, I am a miracle. You are looking at one. God's gifted me with four miracles, and their names are Jeremy, Christopher, Kendall, and Harper. And I am going to be the mom that's going to bring them to the place that God has for them. My children will be the bridge. My children will be a part of the change. My children will be the change. And if you need an example, we're not perfect, but we're going to try really hard to pave the way for others coming behind us. So I know God in my heart, he is the connection, and he's using us to build bridges. And I'm going to continue to focus on Psalm 71 because the next generation is in my home, and it's in your home. So, young people, not having a clue of what they're seeing right now, because you're looking with your physical eyes, you'll learn about that later on in life. I see in my spiritual eyes that you are great. You are everything that he has promised, and he has delivered, and he has redeemed. He is your protector, and he loves you with all of his heart. So we have the opportunity, we as the mamas and daddies, to be the connection, to be just that little bit of light to a student. And I'll ask you to pick that up and just do your part. So believing real connections can be through small groups, weekend services, teams, hangouts, buying some French fries, football games, game nights, summer camps, one nights, serve days. God is here. He is the connection for the next generation. Thank you.
I want to just take a moment and to honor these four. Listen, they're not here to take your job. They're here to walk beside you and helping you as a mom and a daddy in the room, just to helping you with their teenager. And I want to make sure that you see them in that light, because you're going to need people around you. Here's something that we'd learned a long time ago, raising our own children. There was no way that Heidi and I could be or should be the only anchors in our children's lives. We had to get some other people in the mix. And let me tell you what we would do. This is honest truth. When we were having trouble with Hannah, and Hannah gave us some trouble. Oh, you see her up here now going, let me tell you something. No. Well, she used to not have a microphone, and she would say that to us. Let me tell y'all something. We go, whoa. No, we would go and get Tyler and Donna Streback, Donna, and say, Donna, here's some money. Could you take Hannah out to lunch? Here's some problems we're having. And Donna would come alongside Hannah and say some of the same things to her that we were saying to her. But she wasn't hearing us. We sounded like Charlie Brown's school teacher. And Donna would say the very same things to her. And then when she would come home, she would say, yeah, I talked to Donna, and she said, and so I want to apologize, and I'm sorry, and I've been disrespectful, and I'm just so sorry. And Miss Donna said, and Miss Donna said, and Miss Donna said, and the whole time we're going, well, we've been saying that for 3 years. But we would just smile and go, we forgive you. It's all good. It's all under the blood. How many of you know you got to get some other anchors? And what these folks represent is the other anchors. And you would be wise to slip them a Holy Ghost handshake with a $100 bill in it and say, could you take Latrell out to lunch? Could you take Carlin out to lunch? We're having some difficulties. And some things that you need a team around your young person so they can grow up. You know, when these young trees, you plant them, you usually try to get 3 strands around them. You plant the young tree, and they put those strands that go to the ground, and they anchor them all on 3 different sides because they want that tree to grow straight. How many of you want your young person to grow straight? Well, you got to get some more anchors in their life. Let me honor Uncle Russ and Makisha, because when he said, Pastor, you said, you and Makisha lead. Let me tell you what Heidi and I discussed. We watched Russell and Makisha, and we saw them, that they were incredible daddy. He was an incredible father, and Makisha was an incredible mother. That is the criteria. And we said to them, y'all raising incredible children. Would you come alongside and help parents be an anchor to help raise another generation up so that they can grow straight? And they said, Pastor, you were in. I just want to honor Uncle Russ as a father and Makisha as a mama. How many of you would think it would be different if you would have grown up with an environment that's been created at Our Savior's Church, if you grew up inside of that? How many parents would raise your hands and go, things would have been different? Raise your hand. Raise your hand, because you should have been raising your hand right now. Go, if I would have grown up in a house like this. I know the families are fractured in our community. I hear it. Pastor, I know you can do that, but let me tell you what the problem is. I know it's fractured. That's why God wanted to create a spiritual family. So even though you may have a fractured earthly family, you could walk into a spiritual family that was whole and healthy, so you could see the difference. You could lay down the crooked stick versus the straight stick, and you could make some adjustments in your own family. God loves you that much. And so I wanted to honor, and then of course I want to honor Hannah and William. I am very proud of them. I still want to kill them half the time. But our future is in good hands. And back in the day, we knew we'd have to start by reaching the young people, if we don't reach the young people, we're just beginning, by the way. There's bigger plans and bigger ideas in the future that we just brick upon brick, and we're going to continue to reach these young people because that's going to carry on the legacy when we're all old, gray, and gone. That we won't be a one-generation church. We'll just continue on. They'll keep building off the platform that we've laid for them so they can keep planting churches and reaching more people and reaching generations and take Opelousas and St. Landry Parish to heaven with us. Amen? You believe that? I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to give an opportunity to today. We just thank you, Jesus, for the students. We honor them. We thank you for Russell, Makisha, William, Hannah, and we honor them. And Father, we pray that every seed they plant, Father, it will come back to them 30, 60, and 100-fold. That Uncle Russ and Makisha, as they're helping other young people, they'll reap that in their own children. It'll be just blessing poured out onto their own kids. And Hannah's future children, William's future children, Father, that they're only planting seeds for their future. So, Father, we honor them. We honor the students who are graduating today. We ask that you would be with them and bless them. And now we just want to pray for if there's anyone here. When Makisha said, it took me 27 years to find the connection. And maybe you've been going 30 years, 20 years without the connection. The Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart's door right now. He's knocking on your heart and saying, open up, let me in, let me in. The love that you've been looking for, it's knocking on your heart right now. It's not a thing, it's a person. And his name is Jesus. He so loves you. And all he wants is a relationship with you. He is the connector. And today you could be far from God, but he's knocking on your heart right now. You could surrender to him. Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom or see the kingdom unless you've been born again. Nicodemus asks, how do I be born again? It's easy. It's ABC. Just admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus came to die on this cross to pay for your sin. He came to do it for you because you didn't have to. So you wouldn't have to because you couldn't. And then see, confess him as Lord. Christians, would you pray right now? If that's you today, and you go, I need that connection. I need to be born again. The Holy Spirit is knocking on my heart. I want to pray for you right now. With every head bowed and eye closed, no one's looking but me. Would you say, Pastor, you remember me in this prayer. I need to be born again. I want to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up right now? Hold up high. No one's looking for me. Thank you. One and two. And I'm looking three and four. I'm looking, thank you. Five, six. I see your hand. We're going to pray seven and eight. We're going to pray for each one of these. Would you say this out loud? Say, Heavenly Father, I confess I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me and to take my place. I surrender to you now and I give you my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate that? Thank you. Congratulations.